Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I want to welcome our Christian television network audience around the nation and around the world. Also, our WHBR audience on the Gulf Coast. Don't forget, down there, we are on Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m.
That's
Monday.
Right.
And they're called Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday.
Coming to you live, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you alive? I'm alive.
I think so.
I'm alive. And VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. Well, and we think about, if you missed our earlier programs, we've been talking about, you know, the stigmas of what's taken place as a Christian. And it's important because everything inside of you, if you are a Christian, you're realizing that everything's being shaken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's happening when it's being shaken, I don't know if you remember when, you guys probably don't remember that, maybe. Do y'all remember sifters? When your mother would make biscuits and all that. They used to take flour. Flour would show up like a corn cob, and then they stick it. They grind it like this.
I saw Little House on the Prairie.
I'm gonna give a big shout out to my mother. And my mother makes the best biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're so good. I mean, when she anyway, I can't eat them right now. I'm trying to anyway. So, but yeah, so they sift it, and then it leaves these lumps and these clumps and all that that's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
allegedly,
and you know, I don't have a clue. Why in the world are we talking about?
Enlighten us.
Enlighten us. Well, you know, so many people want to remove and remove the stigma out of things,
mm-hmm.
and they just want to take the gospel and the word of God, and they just want to put it through a sifter and just, you know, kind of sift it. Well, what's happening in the world right now? The world's being sifted.
Hey.
It's being sifted to where, when you think about it, that you're being shaken to the surface. You know, you're a precious jewel. You're a Christian, mm-hmm. and God loves you, mm-hmm. and He loves you so much. He's going to bring your light to the surface, and everybody in the office is going to know. Isn't she one of those Christian women right there, Christian man? And by the way, He said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. And so it's time to shine. I think the church's greatest days are ahead. The church has got to find out who she is, you know?
Hello.
And so that sifting's taking place right now. So stigma is going to be, we're going to be like that lump of left in the sifter on the mm-hmm. very top. Because once the whole world's shaken, what's going to be standing, according to the word of God, is that his people will be able to stand
mm-hmm.
in the day of trouble. It says your calmness and your ability to stand in the day of difficulty will be a witness that God loves you, God's with you, and if they don't, if the other person doesn't repent and make the Lord their Savior, then they won't stand.
Right.
And they mm-hmm. won't be a good end. That's what it says.
That's right.
It's not necessarily everything you still got all your chips and stuff, and you got all your you go through it with folks, but it doesn't affect you the way that it affects other folks. And so, you know, if you missed it, you've got to go to johnkilpatrick.org or churchofhispresence.org. You can find out more at vfntv.com because, you know, Pastor John Kilpatrick preached this message, just so encouraged me about the stigma of the Gospels. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about that, and you can catch it on our programs back to back. Go to vfntv.com. But as he's talking about it, you got to hear this because he's talking about how the sports stadiums will not let people hold up a simple scripture, John 3:16 anymore. As a matter of fact, listen to this.
One of the most powerful scriptures in your Bible is John 3:16. It's one of the most safe scriptures. John Knox and different ones in Revivalist of Old, they loved that scripture and they preached it and it drew a lot of people in. So John 3:16 is a really powerful scripture. And here's the thing that sort of surprised me about that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That sounds really safe, doesn't it? But now, at ball games, football games, baseball games, they keep people now out of the stadiums with those placards because even that most simple scripture is offensive to people. It used to be accepted by all denominations. Now, it's not even permitted in the stadium anymore. Let me tell you why. Because now, we've become so soft in this country and so secular and so worldly that even that tepid scripture is an offense to everybody just about it. Watch this. It assumes, they say, that everybody's perishing. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish. They're saying that this scripture is offensive because it seems to indicate that everybody's perishing. And the soft religion that we've got now in our churches will tell people real quick, you're not perishing. God's a God of grace. He's a good God. Nobody's perishing. The Lord's not going to let anybody go to hell. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. We're lost. God, for this reason, God sent his son Jesus into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Preacher, you better be careful what you're preaching. You better not mislead people into believing that nobody's perishing. Unless we find Jesus as our Savior, everybody's perishing. Everybody. And the second thing is, this is what's so offensive about it. I want you to hear this. Jesus said unto them, I am the way and the truth and the life. And it'd be good if he left it right there. But then he said, no man can come to the Father except through me. So the second thing that's offensive to people in our churches today is that they're saying that Christianity boastfully and proudly makes the proclamation that they're the only ones that's right. No, it doesn't. We're not making that bold proclamation that we're saying we're the only ones right. Jesus made that proclamation. Jesus made that proclamation. And Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. Either you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible. And let me tell you something else, Christians. We are not privileged to selectively delete scriptures we don't like. It is the Word of God. And you cannot destigmatize the Bible by taking out those scriptures that's not politically correct. I pity the preachers that are under the bondage of trying to pacify a bunch of people that's politically correct.
When you think about it, it's just so powerful how, when you think about, you look at marriage, how many people decided, I'm just not going to do marriage God's way. Mm. And I'm not talking about people that the world's doing. I'm talking about the church.
Mm. Hello.
We're talking about the people in the church who are criticizing the world, how they're marrying. And it's like, we just wanted to remove all the stigmas out of that. Right. Well, you know, it's not really that way. Mm-hmm. And we filtered out marriage in the context of that. Now, look, the whole world is suffering about where does marriage mean anyway? Mm-hmm. And I heard some of the ones talking on C-SPAN being interviewed in Washington, D.C. that was in the mall area. They couldn't figure out why would anybody even just go from, you know, marriage to marriage again? Why not just never marry? Mm-hmm. Why not even have marriage in the equation? And they couldn't even understand why people would do that. And the thing is that we have chose not to have the stigmas of what God says how marriage should be in our own lives. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
How what a husband and wife format and family should look like and the structure should look like.
Mm-hmm.
And
according
to the Word of God. And, you know, and just like Pastor Kilpatrick said, not me. I pity the pastor that has, and you got to answer to God for that.
Yeah.
You got to answer to God for that. And it's like, it's almost like this. It's almost like wide is the way.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It just seems like, does it seem that way?
Hell yeah.
It's almost like wide is the way that leads to this way, what we're talking about, stigma, destigmatized areas,
yeah,
that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way. And it's almost like few that find it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I didn't just create that. That was the words of Jesus, isn't it?
Yep.
And so it's not about a crowd. People have sold out for crowds. People literally look at the pay scale before they decide they're actually going to follow God.
Wow.
People, it's like, you know, like what Steve Hill said, you know, they want to check out the salary plan. He says, I'm not talking about salad here, brother. And it's just like, I mean, think about historically who, right. you know, the church and what's going on. And so, I mean, you think about that. And so not even in the stadiums, not even the stadiums being able to hold up that. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about, you know, in regards to how name, I like the way that Pastor Kilpatrick says, name brand pastors.
Ooh.
Are if you, you can't even name them, that they're gathering together and with Muslims and with Jews and with other religions and beginning. You got to hear this after the break. You got to listen up.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you make a decision without your spouse's input, it might be a recipe for conflict. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and wife and mom Mary Byers tells us how to avoid this predicament.
We have a policy at our house where neither of us accepts an invitation without first checking with the other person. Neither of us volunteers the other person without approval first. So I think policies are a really good way to be able to say no. Some of the policies I've heard people say, we don't answer the phone during dinner time. That's a way to create a boundary around the family. We don't buy anything with that's over $100 without first talking to each other. So policies actually can simplify some of your yesing and some of your knowing.
Some great advice there. And our family has benefited from having policies in place that we've agreed about. And you can find additional insights to help your family thrive when you stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled. That America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? I said, that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right?
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now, and the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about, with the help of Pastor Kilpatrick of Church in His Presence, talking about the stigma, the stigma of believers. It's a journey of stigmas, and we have programs that we've talked to. If you're just catching us now, you can catch them all at VFNTV.com. But also realize that you can't avoid these stigmas. You can't filter. The world's being filtered right now so that we would surface. We can't quit trying to hide our light under baskets and let our light shine. And that's what we talk about with VFN Radio and VFN TV, is about keeping the conversation light. And I like what Pastor Kilpatrick talked about as we're continuing this conversation about the stigma of the gospel. You know, about his name brand pastors. Are getting together with Muslims and Jews and other religions, and they're trying. You got to hear this, but I don't want to say this. First of all, we stand with and for Israel, but understand the only way to God is through the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Period.
Period. the Jews need to be saved as well.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so accepting any other way other than Jesus is a thief and a robber. I didn't just make that up, did I?
No.
Jesus, didn't he say that?
He said it.
As a matter of fact, listen up to Pastor Kilpatrick here talking about what's taking place with these name brand pastors.
What's on today is a move that's on today of major name brand preachers. And I won't call their names, but there's some major name brand preachers that's all getting together. And they're meeting with Muslims, and they're meeting with Jews, and they're meeting with all kinds of people. And they're now saying that they're going to change their approach and not appear that Christianity is the only way, that Jesus is the only way, that Muslims are accepted and Jews and everybody else is accepted by believing in their gods, and we'll all just put it in the same pot and believe in our God as we see fit. What that is the gospel of accommodation. And we never are to preach a gospel of accommodation. We are to preach the gospel of inclusion, that whosoever will believe on him should not perish, but not take Jesus and his shed blood out of it. What I'm trying to tell you is this in a nutshell. What we are coming to in this nation is a time, and it's a very crucial time, a serious time, where preachers and church people are trying to destigmatize the gospel and make everybody feel good when they leave church. No conviction of the Holy Spirit. No repenting and crying at the altars. No asking God to forgive me. That is, my friend, blasphemy in the face of God.
This is so true when you think about it. And you think about Chrislam. We talked about Chrislam, and hopefully that's a related article to what we're talking about, where Christianity and Islam came together and tried to merge the whole Christianity and Islam. You had the first thing that the Pope did was go pray with an imam, I believe, leader of Islam. Mm-hmm. They knelt and prayed together. Mm. And it's just, you have to understand that the only way to God is through the gate, is through the door. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the only way to him. But that's, we had no way to him except through him. So if we don't go through him, there's no way to him. It's important to understand that. So all this darkness and these lies is to keep you out of heaven. Mm-hmm. It's to keep you from having your sins forgiven and to keep you from having eternity in the presence of God. It's just a lie from the pits of hell.
That's right.
The only way to God is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. And you won't even see me again, he said, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I'm speaking, that's speaking to Israel.
That's right.
In the context of that. Mm-hmm. And so these stigmas of the gospel, we have to understand that you have to separate yourself in the context of it. You know, if you don't, and you have to understand, you don't have to necessarily separate yourself. Just preach the truth and the lie will separate itself.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Quickly, because they don't want the stigma. Mm-hmm. The people who are defaulting into all these false doctrines and all, mm-hmm. they're just trying to, maybe this will work. Maybe that'll work. By the way, you can never make peace with the devil.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You just can't make peace with him. You can never, he's never going to have enough. He's never going to be satisfied enough. He's going to take and take and take and take until he has your soul. Mm-hmm. And maybe your family soul, and maybe your family soul. So I encourage you to stop and say, you know, God, I am ready to embrace the cross. Not only receive, not only believe, but to pick up your cross and follow him, right?
Yeah. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. My goodness, right? And they're just ashamed.
It's the power of God. So
power of God.
And earlier we were talking about is the fact that the moment we become ashamed and we try to dodge the stigmas, what we're doing is pulling ourselves out of the presence of God and out of the power of God, because the gospel is the power of God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's actually, those stigmas is what actually increases your anointing in your life. The more stuff you're going through, the more anointed you are.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, then you say, well, I hear so many people say, man, I want a ministry like so-and-so. Like, do you really want, I want to be like a Smith Wigglesworth.
Right.
It's like, this man was passing kidney stones in between his messages. He would pause, go past the stone, and come back. Mm. I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how many people are like, oh, I got to take a leave of absence. There's no way I can survive. I got a kidney stone. This must not be God. I must not be here because of the pain involved in that.
Can I sit at your right hand?
Right, right. You know, so the stigma of the blood, you know, and then, so you talk about, you know You can preach on prosperity
all day long.
All day long. It is so freaky. Prosperity is such a dangerous doctrine because in God, God wants you to have things. Don't mind things. Just minds things having you.
Right.
But you have to be so careful because you can get a crowd in about 5 seconds when you're talking about how to make people prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the world, you can do that.
That's right.
You can easily do that. And sad to say, the church goes to the world to find a lot of those things out. But God, I mean, God's into prosperity, but not at the consequence of removing the gospel from your life and the relationship with Jesus Christ. Hello. And also, there's the gospel of healing. Everybody, who doesn't want to be healed?
Mm-hmm.
People line up for that. But the gospel of the blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away the sins. As a matter of fact, listen to Pastor Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, talk about that and the stigma that comes with that.
The gospel of prosperity is everybody wants more money. Everybody wants to do good and prosper. The gospel of healing is everybody wants to get well and everybody wants to be healed. But that's not where the stigma lies. I'll tell you where the stigma lies. It lies in the gospel of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where the crux of the matter is the gospel in the blood, the shed blood of the only one that can help you get to heaven. That's the stigma. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You want power? The stigma goes with it. Paul said, I had such revelation shown to me above any other man. He said, but there's a stigma that I've got to bear called the thorn in the flesh. Unless I be exalted above measure, I'm stigmatized and I'm scandalized so that I can still bear that revelation and share it. So don't be ashamed and don't be afraid of being scandalized and stigmatized for Jesus. It goes with the territory. Suffer with dignity. Suffer in honor. And share in His sufferings and His fellowship.
Yes. Don't you just love Him?
Love
Beautiful.
Him.
Oh my goodness. If you are in the Mobile area, in the Southern Alabama, the Gulf Coast area, you need to go to Church of His Presence. I just love truth.
Yeah.
I just love truth.
Listen, if you got to drive, just go ahead and drive.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Just go ahead and do what you got to do.
Without a doubt. And for those that are obviously listening and watching us around the nation, around the world, of course, you can also go to churchofhispresence.org and you can catch them online with, I think, Insight is the name of their program there. But the stigma, the guys just embrace it, you know, just buck up and this is it, right?
Uh-huh.
This is it. And understanding, it should refresh you because you're trying to dodge stigma. People were preaching to you, there is no stigma, but you had stigma stuck to you all day long. You're like, how do I get, what's wrong with me? Because I have this stigma. And it's like, the question is, you know, what's right with you? Because that's right. That's how it is. When you stand up for Jesus and you stand up for Him and you love folks when nobody does, and when you do all the things that God asks us to do in love and you abide with Him, it starts to separate you.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to separate you. And we just have to be loyal to Jesus through these scandals. As a matter of fact, listen to Pastor Kilpatrick at this point. You've got to be loyal during the scandal.
If Jesus was scandalized and if the Holy Spirit was scandalized, don't tell me you can't take a little bit of scandal and stigma. Don't tell me you can't take that for Him. But the day will come when any little thing now is the way things are getting, any little thing that you take a stand on, much less major, you're going to be stigmatized. In the workplace, in college, universities, elementary school, high school, neighborhood. And let me say this also, even in many churches, you're going to be scandalized. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? You're a self-righteous little thing, aren't you? And you're just taking just the minimum of stands. It's a culture thing. It's exactly what it is. It's a culture thing.
It's such a difficult thing to deal with.
Hmm.
When here you were lost, you know, we were in our darkness, we were in our sin, we had all of our issues, mm-hmm. and we come to Jesus, and Jesus forgives us and cleanses us, and we begin this picking up our cross journey and becoming his disciple, and you're just loyal to the one that you love.
Yeah.
And the stigmas begin to happen, and it's if you don't hear truth like this that's coming from Pastor Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence, you start thinking, what's wrong with me? Because the closer I get to Jesus, the further my family gets from me. Mm-hmm. The more difficult my marriage gets, the more difficult my job gets. And it's like, because they're not necessarily walking with God. They're not in, all in yet.
That's right.
And so you go, okay, I can understand. I just need to witness to them. And understand, even the very little thing, and it's so important, where we're going is, you might as well just get in. Mm-hmm. And understand, I truly believe that wide is the way who doesn't get in. He's looking for loyal sons and daughters who are not ashamed of him. Because he says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. That doesn't sound good. You know what I'm saying? At the throne of judgment. So it's time to shake all that off and say, you know what? I'm all yours. And if you haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ, today is the day to say, you know what? All religion aside, I'll embrace the stigma of the cross. Jesus, I'm all yours. Find out how we did that at meetmyfather.org. meetmyfather.org.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTB.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We are so excited, by the way, to welcome our Gulf Coast audience in our new time slot now, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. to be there as soon as you get home from work. We want to give you a perspective of all the things that you heard throughout the day. And, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And we want to be able to you know, God, what does this mean? You know, and hearing from many in the body of Christ and just hearing ourselves from the Lord and spending time abiding with the Lord and praying over it, you know, trying to make sense out of what you know, if you were to think about it, doesn't make any sense at all. Mm-mm. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com. And follow the prompts.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand, it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying, you know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. and we'll partner together for God and country in that order and for Israel. This is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God. Mm. He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation that we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. We're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
The producer of VFN Radio and VFN TV. And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Not the producer of VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program.
Not at all.
Well, big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world. Again, we love to be able to embrace the hoping for maybe a condo or something. No, we're not necessarily. Just in case, maybe in the Gulf Coast region, WHBR audience is there. Over 1.4 million folks on the Gulf Coast, over 500,000 homes, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, and of course our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. It was so cool to look at how VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is being presented in China.
Yeah.
We had a chance to be able to see that. And it was just a lot of squiggly artwork. And, you know, like, what are they really saying about us? You know, that could be, you know, but we could see the face. So that makes sense when we saw Pat's face. Mm-hmm. By the way, during our earlier programs, we found out that Pat can leap a building in this. What was he say?
He can leap a building in
a single bound.
With a single bound. I mean,
so we're going to dedicate the first part of our program him jumping over the table and see how that works.
Show us what you do, man.
Yeah, I thought the S was like Saints, you know, football. I mean, Superman. Is that what it is?
That's what you said. I don't know.
That's what I said. Well, if you missed our earlier programs, don't forget we're four programs back to back. And also, you can catch us, of course, on Christian Television Network. But we're talking about the stigma of the gospel. This is important. This is such an important, timely word. And what just stirred my heart was Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church of His Presence, when he ministered recently at Church of His Presence, which he's pastor of in Mobile, is the stigma is about to kick up a notch. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to get less. It's going to get... But the thing about it, when you take your lamp out from under a bushel, up under a basket, you start shining more.
Hello.
You know, when you go through things, and if you call some of our earlier programs, you know, you heard some of the things that he was talking about, how you can just come through this, and actually you're more intimate with God and more closer to God after going through those times of testings and trials. And
knowing him in the fellowship of his suffering. You know, this is your chance.
Right. And so with that, you know, I want to be able to today's program to talk about more about the stigma of the gospel and embracing that. And if you miss, I mean, you got to catch the earlier programs because it's just so yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not going to be able to avoid this and maintain my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to give up my relationship with Jesus Christ. And it makes me think about the girl. Remember the school tragic shooting in Columbine.
Oh yeah.
And the young girl, when he came up to her, why would this young man even know outside of him being held captive by Lucifer himself?
Mm-hmm.
When he held a gun at this girl's head in the library and he said, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ? And she did not deny him.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't. Before he killed her, murdered her, she went instantly to the throne of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But understand, I mean, Pastor Youssef is in prison right now in Iran. And the thing is that he's in prison because the stigma for him is I'm a prisoner for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Right.
The stigma right now for, I'm thinking about a particular African country. I can't think of it right now, but their pastors are having to leave their churches and leave everything because of peaceful Islam is running them out I'm lost for the country right now. I have to tell you in a little bit. But in the context of that, it's like, my goodness, you know, why aren't we as American Christians, why aren't we embracing the cross?
Yeah.
Because he says, you know, you think about this. I mean, think about this. How many people are just preaching and teaching and telling you, you know, things. It's amazing how many people act like they're speaking with authority in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And you find out they're not even a believer.
Right.
You know? Nor have they ever picked up the Bible in the first place.
Did you copy and paste that? Did you? You're just like, what?
Well, people are having like this big long conversation about God, and then you start talking to them. It's like, oh, you're not even Christians.
You don't even know him.
You don't even have a Bible. You've never heard the Word of God taught. Mm-mm. And you're like, they're like deeply in this deep conversation about how it is. This is how it is. Because they read it somewhere on a billboard or something, or a church sign that's driving by. And so I think it's so important for you to know you're going to personally stand alone before God. That's why we're willing to risk the stigma of what we're doing. Because right now, even though this is a God encounter, the fact that you and I and John and Pat, we're talking right now because you're going to answer alone. You're going to stand alone with what you did with Jesus Christ. What did you do with this Jesus? And that's why we're talking about this. And understand, it's going to crank up a notch. The reason why it's going to crank up a notch is because the enemy of God does not want mankind to follow God. Mm-hmm. And so he'll create, and the worst lie of all, by the way, the worst lie of all is a religious lie. Because a religious lie makes you feel like you're fulfilling some religious.
You're doing something.
Yeah.
That matters.
Yeah, that matters. And the fact is like religion don't save you.
Mm-mm.
You know, religion, what is hanging around the cross.
That's right.
But Christianity is getting on the cross. He says, unless you pick up your cross and follow me, you can't have any part of me. That's not the Quran. That's the Holy Bible. Yeah. That's the words of Jesus. And it's like, my goodness. And you think, so the stigma of the gospel, then it makes you think about when Pastor John Kilpatrick was speaking on this, and you got to get it in its entirety. You got to go to churchofhispresence.org or just go to vfntv.com, and I'm sure we have a link to be able to get to his ministry there. You get the whole thing in its entirety because he breaks it down. Mm-hmm. Like you're just hearing just bits and pieces of this. But it's so important to understand that heaven is not filled with cowards.
Mm-mm.
It really is not filled with cowards. And it's really, there's so much cowardness. You know, is that word cowardness in this?
Okay.
That you're just thinking, you know, to be a coward is almost normal.
Mm.
And it's like, dear Lord, help me not to be a coward when it comes to your things, because it says in the Word of God, and we'll talk about it after. You got to hear Pastor Kilpatrick talk about this, but you know the gospel. You know God's not looking for cowards, and I just can't. I was talking, man. I can't say too much, but I was talking to this brother. He was on fire for God,
yeah,
and he's willing to do whatever. He don't mind if it ends, you know, just as long as the time that was there. And I was just like, just yes. And he's not a coward, and it's just beautiful. To you know, heroes in the Lord just to talk and it's like, let's just do this for him, you know? But so many people preach a cowardice message. It's like, it's all right. You hunker down. It's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. You're going to be able to make it. That's a Southern. I don't know how you would say it up top. You know, but in the context of that. Yeah.
John, how's it going?
Hey, I don't know. I don't preach that message.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea.
How does it sound? You hot? Hot? Good night. Anyway, so that'd be, you know, Gary Britton. So listen to Pastor Kilpatrick talk about this, because this is his drives it home. This is how it truly is. God is not looking for cowards. The stigma of the gospel.
That's right.
I remember one time I was going through a battle over revival, taking a stand for revival. I had to put everything on the line. I had to put my everything on the line. I had to put my reputation. I had to put my family, my income, the church at Brownsville. Everything, my standing in the denomination, I had to put everything on the line. And I was catching the devil from people in the church, key people, influential people, wealthy people that was giving me the devil. And I remember I called the board one day on a Monday. I and said, I want you to meet me at Brownsville if you have to take off from work. Because I was believing God for revival. And it was really getting hot. The pressure was on. The crowbar had been pulled out. The devil was trying to get me to change my mind and not go after God. He's beginning to try to pry me out. And I called the board and I said, I want you to meet me at the church. And they met me there. Me and Brenda met with them. I just told them, I said, I want you to know I'm not turning back. I've already made up my mind. I'm going all the way. I need to know, are you going with me? Are you going to splinter? Are you going to scatter? But I'm telling you, as the pastor of the church, a duly elected pastor of the church, I'm going forward with revival. If you're going with me, great. And if you're not, I need to know now. And I remember I reached in and I took a wad of keys. It was the keys to the church. Everything in the church. The offices. The custodial department. Everything. The chapel. The cafeteria. The classrooms. Everything. I had a wad of keys. And I walked over and I laid my keys on the altar. And I had an altar in the church. Four altar benches. And I laid my keys on the altar and I said, as of this moment, no matter what the cost, I've made up my mind I'm going after God. And I said, I'll take my keys and I'll lay my keys on this altar as a symbol that I take my authority over this church and I now commit it to the Holy Spirit, and come hell or high water, I'm in all the way. And my board gathered around me and they laid hands on me. And we agreed that we was going to stay together for a move of God, and they stayed with me through the whole thing. But there was a scandal associated with it that I wasn't seeing coming. I was going to be scandalized. I was going to be stigmatized. And I didn't really realize all of it. Just the pressure of it before it ever happened was great pressure. But when the revival broke forth, that was still a surprise to see it break forth like that. I didn't really realize that that scandalization and that stigma was going to increase. And I was going to come under great pressure for years over that decision. But I'm this type of person. I'm not going to run. If I know something's right, you can cut my head off. I'm going to stay right there if I know that it's right. Can you shout amen? God's not looking for a bunch of cowards. God's looking for people that would say, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
You think about it. Revelations 21:8 says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and liars, they will all be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. There's no cowards getting into heaven. Dear God, give us that kind of integrity, that kind of tenacity, that kind of I'm in, come hell or high water. And by the way, hell will come and high water will come. I'm in all the way.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking about texting, and we just thought about some very interesting things is that you actually could text somebody and then you could blame it on Siri. So I'm just going to vent for a moment, you know, because everybody's going to think, like, you did that on purpose. No, really. I can actually look at my phone. Type, and especially because what happens is when you get a new phone, it takes a while for Snowden to get all your data together. Or it moves, it kind of learns you, I guess, or something like that. And it takes a while for those numbers to get in their proper order.
Yeah.
And because I had three new phones. Three new phones right close together.
That's right.
I had the one phone that took a swim for 10 seconds. And I didn't know it couldn't swim. And then I had another phone, it was a refurbished phone from my warranty, and Apple sends it. Said, this is a better phone than the ones you buy from the store because it's gone through everything. It's been checked really good. And I go, It didn't work.
Yeah.
How could it be better?
The same conversation.
The other one worked for years. The other one for years. It's like better. He said, well, we're going to send you another one that's better than the new one things. And that's the one that Siri's acting all up. She don't know me yet. She don't know me yet.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, oh, my goodness. I think it's our southern draw. We got to, really enunciate our words and speak more like John. Tournament.
There you go.
Tournament. The statistics tell us that.
And then the lightning hits you and it's all over.
I focus on that word now.
I listen every time.
And I was even, I don't know if y'all noticed that, when I said wrestling.
You're still working on mill, but that's okay. Still working on that one.
Which one?
Mill. Sort of a meal. Mill.
Oh, mill.
Mill. He's like, I didn't
know
about that
one. Heavy? Are you calling me heavy? What are you talking about? A mill. Where does that come from? I know I'm retaining a little for today. Jiminy crickets. Like the mill, M-E-A-L?
Yes, M-E-A-L. Meal.
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 How do I say it?
Mill. You never noticed that.
Well, let me tell you how Southerners normally talk. This is how Southerners normally talk. Cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah. No Jew. Nope. Don't do. And I'll tell you what that was, did you eat yet?
Yeah.
And the other one responded back, nope. Do you want to eat? And the other one goes by, yes. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. That's what that meant. That kind of goes like this. Cheat. Nope. Don't do.
Aight.
I, yeah. That was the final thing. I, and that means we're going to have biscuits with the gravy at the Cracker Barrel. So we can say we've come a long way.
Okay, okay.
Yes. We're trying to enunciate things.
We're sophisticated now.
Oh.
How do you sophisticated? Oh, my goodness. God uses the things that are not to nullify the things that are.
No
and
doubt.
I have you know, as long as the Bubba Show is going across the world,
exactly,
we are in there. We are totally in there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We've been talking about the stigma of the gospel, and you need to get that teaching in its entirety. You can get it at churchofhispresence.org. Just go to vfntv.com. And go to links. Hopefully you can find it there as well. But you think about it, that it just think about this. Every time when God calls a man or woman out, it comes with stigma.
Mm-hmm.
You think about when Abram was called out, it came with a stigma. You know, he had to leave his family. And then he had to go to the point to where he couldn't have children and she couldn't have children. Then he had the stigma of telling everybody, hey, I'm the father of many nations. It's like, you can't even have a child.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the stigma of that.
The stigma that he was going to murder his child.
Yeah. And the stigma of having to take him up on top of Mount Moriah, which is where the Dome of the Rock covers up today in Israel. And how many people today, I mean, think about Joseph. You know, Joseph's just doing what his father wanted him to do. And he goes and gets sold by his brothers into slavery. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he finally gets promoted, and then the boss's wife, you know, tries to attack him sexually, and he says no. But the stigma was because he stood faithful to God, they accused him of what he didn't do, and he didn't get his name cleared, and so he had to live with the stigma of this being over him the rest of his life. It's like the stigmas don't even get... I mean, you got to hear this teaching. I mean, it's just powerful. Because so many people are dodging stigma. And by dodging stigma, you're dodging your call. To this we were called. We were called to suffer for doing good. This is our calling, Peter talks about it. I mean, how many people are trying to go to reputation.com, spiritualreputation.com, and trying to get their reputations worked out? It's like, no... You finally got a bad reputation. Now you can be used.
Right. A bad reputation for the right reason.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Well, sometimes it's you just, you know, some David did murder someone.
Yeah.
He did murder someone. But what's difficult? What's Pat and I, we were talking about, you know, I understand John's walking on water and stuff. We're talking about us. I mean, you can make a legitimate But think about it. I mean, how many people are saying, listen, you got to be careful. Don't preach about the blood because you're going to have some bad reputation about that. You know, people are going to leave your church. First of all, it's not your church. Secondly, if they leave, it's because they didn't want to know about the blood of Jesus Christ, which means they made a decision on that.
Hello.
And the fact that you have a mortgage payment on your church building does not mean that person who doesn't believe needs to stay there.
Hmm.
You know, adjust your debt ratio to the believers that you have. Why not get rid of it? But so many people are bringing in non-believers because their debt ratio. You know, they say that, you know, we got some folks that work at financial institutions, and I think it's like a third or something of your income. It's like, you know, you can't have more than a third for your whatever to get a loan. And so I think a lot of this wide way church today, you know, that's doing what we're talking about, that's dodging these stigmas, I think they have a new loan ratio that says you got to at least have 2/3 non-believers in your congregation to be able to service the debt.
Are you serious?
As one particular, no. But you think about it. I mean, if they're going to leave because you preached about Jesus, think about all the time you're saving yourself, because now you can focus on the body of Christ.
That's right.
And not on these therapy sessions of people that are looking for some sort of therapy when they wanted to get free therapy instead of paying for it, you know, down the street. They're showing up wanting you to marry them and bury them and all these things. And it's like, that's not your job. Your job's not to marry the world. Your job is not to bury the world. Your job is a pastor is to shepherd the church.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a place. That's not our place in the world. The society has done that, but that's not our place. As a minister, we're called to minister to the church, and we're called to preach to the world, but that's not our job to do that. That God expects us to take care of the church. And by the way, if we'll turn our focus to the church, then maybe she'll go to the narrow way. You know, maybe the she'll embrace the stigmas of what's going on. And that's a shocker probably to hear that find out it's not your job to marry the world. It really isn't. I mean, think about it. You're the shepherd of God's flock. You're not the shepherd of the world. And it doesn't say anywhere that we are supposed to go out and do anything and tell the world how to live their life. That's not what we're supposed to do. But you see how many folks today are marching up and down trying to tell the world how to live their life. And it's like, we don't have our act together yet.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. In other words, we get our act together and we start, you know, saying, dear God, you're right, I'm wrong, and I will follow your way. Then what happens is the world just benefits out of that. Then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. And so embracing this stigma, and it's so important. And the reason why we've carried in these last three programs about it is because it just stirred my heart, but it stirred my heart for a reason, because it's about to kick up a notch, you know, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but in a blessed land, you can be stupid for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You can go a couple generations of stupid.
Hmm.
Because it just, society catches you. It's just enough blessing on a nation that you can act like you're right and act like you know God. And because God's blessed it so much, you know, you can really believe your own press. But you're actually eating another man's groceries.
Right.
You know, it's not your own groceries. And so, but all of a sudden when God withdraws his hand, you can't survive a day outside of that, because all of a sudden the land's not blessed. And we're believing that it is. We're believing God for a third great awakening. But I know this. If you read the word of God and what's going to happen prophetically on the earth, it's going to get rougher. It's going to get tougher. But it shouldn't be a big deal for us. It shouldn't be a big deal for us because of this is who we should have been all along. This is who we should have been all along. We should have been loyal to Jesus Christ from day one. You know, I look at our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, when they make a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, immediately, if they have a Muslim family, immediately, they are literally excommunicated from the family.
Mm-hmm.
They are shunned by their family, treated horribly.
Mm-hmm.
But they still say yes to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, a big move of God is taking place right now in North Africa. Amongst the Muslims, they're getting saved.
Wow.
You know, we have an earlier program talking about that, but understand this. that who are we in America that we don't embrace the reality? The message hasn't changed. The gospel hasn't changed. The power of the gospel and the cross of Christ and his finished work on the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ, it hasn't changed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. If you don't preach the blood, the sin is still present. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ, this red, pure blood of an innocent lamb, an innocent son of God, who lived a sinless life, who did that to demonstrate the love of God, that he is the face of God. He is the image of the invisible God, who created all things and put and holds all things together. He did this, and God thought it was right in the fact that he would offer his son up as the first amongst many that would be sacrificed and raised from the dead for us. And when he made that choice, he and the Father made that choice, that made a way for us. That is the only way for us. And all this stuff about dodging stigmas, let me tell you what you're really going to dodge if that happens. You're going to dodge eternity in heaven. You're going to dodge forgiveness of sins. You're going to dodge living in perfect harmony in the light of God, where there's no sickness, no disease, a new heaven, a new earth, where this angelic song of heaven that people talk about 24/7 for eternity. Why would you want to listen to that? This is the key. The key is get in a Bible believing, Bible preaching, presence of God gathering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you can't find one, I think about, you know, we talked about Church of His Presence, but, you know, VFN Dream Center, go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org and just connect virtually. If you can't go there physically, today's technology, you can join. We have people that are joined from around the world.
That's right.
And you can attend and connect. You need to get connected with the truth, with the life, because times are coming. You need somebody who's going to talk stigma. You need somebody who's going to say, listen, there's nothing wrong. Embrace it. Let's go through this thing as a man and as a woman of God. Let's do this thing with integrity. And when other brothers and sisters are suffering because of their belief in God, that we don't jump on the critical bandwagon. We just start praying for them and realize, my goodness, they're going to have a great reward in heaven because those are your badges.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your badges. Those are the things that will increase the anointing in your life, because less of you comes out of stigmas quite often, which means if there's less of us, then there's more of him. And I just say, more, Lord, more of your presence, more of your anointing. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.